If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another brand spanking new episode of Is It Just Me?, the podcast where we talk utter nonsense. But you know why? Because it's the most important stuff, especially in these trying times. I'm one of your hosts. I'm Jo Elvin, and I'm joined by James Williams. Hi, James.
Hello.
Hello. Well, a delayed hello, but you know, he's with us now. He's in the room. He's back in the room. Today, we are joined by, you know, a real sort of like modern day Renaissance man, if you ask me, Professor Green. Stephen Manderson, he's a rapper, he's a sort of a music star all rounder, he's a fashion designer, although he'll go on to tell me that he's not. He's got a new collection out with George from Asda. He's a foodie, he launched a pop-up restaurant earlier this year. He's got some supplements coming out that promote gut health. He's got everything going on. But somehow he found time to talk to us on Is It Just Me? I don't know if the agent just made a mistake, but we had a right laugh with him. He's one of the loveliest, loveliest men on the planet. And here he is. So hi, everyone.
Hi.
Where are you at home, Stephen?
I am, yeah, in my kitchen.
Do we call you Stephen or do we call you Professor? And are you sick of answering that question?
Are we being overly familiar already?
I like it when people call me Mr. Professor. I'm like, wow, I've got two titles.
You must be feeling very excited, Stephen, about the vaccine today, Professor.
Stephen is. Well, I did get accused of mishandling the PPE situation. That was quite a fun. That's been one of my highlights of the year.
Why? What did you do?
There was another Professor Green, Martin Green. They just forgot to put the Martin in it. So I went onto Twitter one morning. I'd just woken up, and like the worst thing in the world to ever do is look at your phone just as you've woken up. I think I was stuck in Morocco at the time during the first lockdown, and went on Twitter and was like, "Why are all these people shouting at me about PPE? Like this, what?" Done a little bit of research into it, and it was a case of mistaken identity. But there were a lot of angry people moaning at me about the lack of PPE and the mishandling, it was a weird one. But yeah, that was one of the highlights of the year for me.
Being stuck in Morocco, mistaken
for a proper professor. How's being stuck in Morocco? It was not what you'd expect. Everyone was like, "Oh, well, at least you had the beach and hot weather." It was a state of emergency. I landed in Tangier and was the last plane that they let in on the 15th of March. They closed Moroccan airspace literally half an hour after I landed at 11:30 at night. We weren't even allowed out for a walk without papers. And the farthest we could go was our closest supermarket, which was only 50 meters away. And it wasn't hot, which was probably made it more bearable, actually. But it rained for at least 8.5 weeks of the 13 and a half weeks I was out there.
Jesus, that sounds even worse than my lockdown in Southeast London.
Where is Southeast London? I think
we do live near each other. I live in Sydenham.
Okay, yeah, not far from me at all. I go to Sydenham regularly with the dogs.
Oh, we go there too. Why have I never run into you?
No idea.
Yeah.
We have. I'm normally just there with my hood up, like, oh, really?
Same, same. Yeah, yeah. Like, you know, wearing the hoodie of shame because I just, you know, just bundled out of bed. Yeah. What was I going to say? No, it's gone. So tell us all about, so you're now a fashion designer as well as a professor.
Yeah, definitely not a professor or when it comes to shape cutting and everything, I'm slowly getting my head around it.
Can we get Martin on this podcast instead?
Yeah. I'm sure, well, he'd probably know about the sizes of PPE, or maybe not. It's the second time that I've worked on a range with someone else. The first was with Puma many, many moons ago. We did two seasons. And it's kind of nice to just, I quite selfishly just basically recreate all the favorite things in my wardrobe.
Nice.
And refine them a little bit. But this time with, I guess the new thing this time is that it's largely sustainable. And I don't think, as far as menswear, there's much in the way of sustainability out there. I think, you know, in women's wear, especially with Stella leading that, I think there's always been some awareness of sustainability and using materials that are more kind to the planet. But I don't think it's something that men are that up on. So it's quite exciting to be part of one of the first sustainable menswear ranges, especially that's affordable, because, you know,
yeah.
Even products we use to wash our dishes and tablets we use to stick in our dishwashers, if you get the more sustainable variety, they come at a higher price tag, which obviously doesn't encourage as many people to use them. You know, it becomes a luxury in the same way that it's probably more expensive, or is definitely more expensive, to eat well than it is to go and get, you know, six wings and chips for $1.99 at your local mall.
Yeah.
If you're in South.
But that's the thing, because it's Asda, isn't it? It's an Asda range. And I think I'm probably... I can't be the only one guilty of thinking supermarket, cheap, not sustainable.
Exactly. The exact opposite normally. And I think what it does is it's quite disruptive. And I think what it does is it forces the hand of other large corporations, or you would hope it would anyway. So I think it's a smart move. And it's not greenwashing. You know, they're being very, very, very transparent about every step of the process, which... it is also encouraging, because I think there's a hell of a lot of people that claim to be sustainable, but if you scratch the surface, you find out they're actually not.
But in the same way, Stephen, I think what I found really interesting was that the second I heard sustainable, similar to Joe, because, you know, the idea that cotton is a cheap fabric, when actually mass-produced bad cotton is cheap. Yeah. Good cotton is actually, I think the sustainable stuff I've been sort of hoodwinked into buying is actually quite expensive. I was amazed to see you'd made it affordable. Was that a real challenge, to actually keep the price point low but obviously then have some green credentials to the range?
Well, basically what's happened is Asda have had to take it on the chin, which again I think is commendable, because what happens is people don't normally, you know, people would normally put the price tag up because of margins. You know, they have margins that they're supposed to meet as a company. I don't know if you've seen what people, you know, what supermarkets tend to buy stock in at. It probably helps that it's their own range. But, you know, I've got a product that I'm working on myself at the moment that I released recently that we're trying to take into bricks and mortars, and trying to make the margins work is headache. It's been a funny year for me, right? So I kind of, as a kid, I was quite academic. Then I found music and decided to switch that part of my brain off, because I found that being creative was way more fun. And this year has basically been EBITDAs, LTIPs, 5-year projections, and a load of legalese. So I'm like, I'm dying to get back to the studio.
Because you were in my magazine a couple of weeks ago. You've got a supplement range, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's taken me, like, I've had to work with some proper professors on that. You know, I took them a whistle.
Oh, shit.
You wouldn't want me making it. I'd bloody kill someone. Oh, that's good. Yeah, let's put more and more and more of it in.
Let's make it green. That's more fun. Yeah. Yeah.
Do you know what, though? That attitude was kind of my approach to most things in my younger years. You know, I used to be excessive. And when people talk about sustainability, I think it goes far beyond just using specific fabrics and, you know, using 3D CADs to avoid having to fly things through. So you're sending a plane for each and every sample every time something's a millimeter out. I think, you know, sustainability extends into affordability, but also, you know, lifestyle choices that are manageable. If I go to the gym 7 days a week, I will no doubt end up in bed for two because I've overdone it. I think sustainability now is something that I try and apply by just not being excessive or extreme. You know, I've always been a bit of a pendulum. I go from one extreme to another. I'm trying to allow life to go up and down and stay somewhat in the middle, you know, so I can enjoy
taking a risk here saying this in front of two boys, but I think that's actually just very male. I think that's men are sort of like so much more all or nothing than women in general. I think
time for testosterone, and we're like, it's like managing that is a skill, because we've not, I don't think there's much in even in modern day life that teaches you how to handle that. I don't think, you know, I think for better or worse, normally worse, we can quite often be somewhat cavemanish approach to things. And I think even when you talk about, you know, if you relate emotion to men, it's not like emotions, it's one emotion, and it's anger. And anger, I think, is really just adult fear. It's all, I can't be scared, so I'm going to be angry. When you get beyond that and you start to let yourself just be upset in a situation, you might feel a bit bullied at first, but you kind of find that you go through your life with a lot less guilt and carrying a lot less regret for things you've said when you've been reactive or explosive. So I think we're gently moving towards a better direction. But I think conversations like this have to happen a hell of a lot more. I think.
Carry on, James.
I do think though, Steve, I think you've got a very healthy approach, because I will say this, I do feel like.
I don't mean to cut you off there. I talk a good game, but I am still very much a work in progress. I promise.
Well, no. And I think that's right. And I think that's the good point, because I think the problem is at the moment, I do feel the second anybody, least of all somebody with a public profile, starts talking about sustainability, there is this lynch mob that is ready to jump on them and then prove all the other things they've not done that's been sustainable, like getting on flights or, you know, not putting the recycling out that week.
Having 16 baths, we're talking about Piers Morgan and Prince Harry, right?
Yeah, exactly.
You know? Like anyone's going to use all 16 of their baths. It's like he has a house that has 16 baths. I can't imagine he fills them all and goes, oh, which one should I get in today? Yeah. But
that's a waste of 15 baths then.
But I do feel like anybody's
point, apparently 72 million drops of water. I don't know why. I retain the most stupid information. And I always say I know nothing about anything and everything about nothing. And that will probably be on my gravestone. Or he meant well.
But what's your what's your image of yourself, Stephen, when you think that, I think that when you talk about mental health and sustainability and things like that, it has a bigger resonance, because you, to me, you have this such sort of like all male, almost, you know, like macho persona. And that's, you know, from your music and from the past. Is that how you see yourself?
I try really hard to not see myself through the eyes of other people, because I think what happens then is you start to think of yourself as you assume people think of you, which is really, really dangerous. My idea of myself, like, I've always been really sensitive in my music. I was a very sensitive kid, which was probably played into a lot of my gut and mental health issues, which I didn't join the dots between for many, many years. You know, because I was always quite anxious. I was always quite shy. And then I got into the most aggressive form of rap music when I started out, which was battle rapping. It's basically boxing with words. You know, you have to make it all up on the spot. It has to rhyme and it has to be funny as well as pretty cutting. Which strangely, I think growing up in East London prepared me for really well. But it was, it done so much for me when I found a form of expression, because I found my voice. And when I found my voice, I began to understand more about myself. And it's weird. I don't listen back to my music a lot. But when I do, sometimes I hear things and I'm like, shit, again, I was talking a really good game, but I was ahead of myself because I said something that I understand now. But at the time I was kind of bordering on awareness and able to put it into, you know, song form, into words. I was able to put it on paper, but I hadn't put it into practice. So now at points in my life, I'm like, so I wonder what I'm gonna write now. And I'm trying to pay more attention to what's coming out, and I'm trying to apply more of it to my life. But the whole like macho thing, I think that was more a persona that was put on me, you know?
Right.
Like, people always talked about, like, you know, I've been through a lot more than I put in my music, especially around the sort of where I grew up, what I used to do. I've never felt the need to make that my identity, albeit that was my identity for a period of my life, because I didn't feel like I had much purpose beyond that. And I think that's the same for a lot of people. You know, it's sad. You've got kids who fight over estates where their parents don't own their property, you know, because that's all they have as an identity, because they don't see the world as a bigger place than where they are, because they feel so trapped in their situation.
Yeah.
And when I got beyond that, like, I always used to find it weird. Like, remember, I got stabbed. I didn't stab someone. But people think of that as macho and assume then that that makes me this hard person. I was always really honest and sensitive in my music. You know, my favorite rappers when I was growing up, so I didn't start writing music until I was 18. And I listened to rap music a long time before that. And all my favorite artists were the ones who put themselves into their music and were honest. You know, who spoke about, you know, anything they thought, felt or observed. And that was why I took that approach to my music when I started writing it. And I guess in, you know, in hindsight, it was quite cathartic. It was somewhat therapeutic. I don't do CBT. It's not a type of therapy that works for me. But the cornerstone of cognitive behavioral therapy is journaling, right? Which is just writing down what you think, feel or observe at any given time. So you've got the perspective a week later when you go back to it and go, fuck, you know, what was I worrying about that for? And
yeah.
I kind of had that from my music, which I didn't realize, but it helps, you know. When I feel stifled, it's often because I don't have, I'm not expressing myself.
And I guess this year, you know, I was going to say, actually, it's a good thing this year of all you, you've got all these other strings to your bow, because let's be honest, it's not a good time to be a musician right now. We're saying on an easy landscape to be a musician right
now. Yeah, well, I mean, we can't do anything live, right? So that's the, I mean, I've done one live event this year and it was weird, right? Because it was corporate and it was a Zoom. There were about 20 people in the room. There were me, Dream McLean, who's another rapper, and Thomas Jules, who's my DJ, and he's a singer-songwriter himself, who's on stage with me. But it was a Zoom to like 2,000 people and you couldn't see any of them. It's really weird performing to an audience you can't see. But
yeah.
The beautiful thing about it is we've been together for so long that we do the same show, whether we're at Brixton Academy on the Pyramid Stage at Glastonbury, or we're in a weird small room in Clapton performing to all these video cameras that are broadcasting to these 2,000 people that work for this firm. We do the same show, but it made me realize how much I miss it. I think Rishi Sunak is a bit of a knob, suggesting that we all retrain.
Oh my God, can you believe that?
Excuse my French, but it's like we contribute to the economy. I also pay a hell of a lot of tax, as do many of my peers. But forget the artists for a second, right? There are so many cogs in that machine. You know, there are so many people that are part of making what we do happen and making what we do possible. And he just basically, I mean, do you know the funniest thing, right? I actually went on the website to see what else I could retrain as. And it said I could be a beautician and earn 30 to 40 grand a year. But all the beauticians were out of work because none of us.
Well, quite, yeah. Open.
And it also told me I could be an actor. Now, my partner's an actress, so I'm aware of how little work there is out there at the moment, because it's kind of difficult to run a production when everyone has to have COVID tests twice a week.
But also, that's hilarious if they're saying, okay, so you, all you people in the arts need to retrain, and one of the things they want you to retrain as is in the arts.
It's like, the thing is, right, when he had that, I was kind of laughing, because obviously our range is called Adapt. And when he came out and first said anything about this, he said, we all need to adapt. It wasn't retrain. Now, when the uproar hit, because it happened in between when he said we should adapt and when he said we need to retrain, surely someone would have just put their hand up and gone, Rishi, mate, maybe we should pull this retrain campaign that we spent loads of money on that we should be spending elsewhere on, like, I don't know, protecting people in care homes or just any number of things that would have been, you know, money better spent than creating this website where people could just go for a giggle to see what they could retrain as to laugh, because they couldn't possibly, you know, at the idea of just giving up everything they've worked towards their entire lives. Just what, yeah. I mean, you know, I just think it's really scary when you've got people who are in that position of power that are that tone deaf to their public.
I just think, I'm not sure if it's him as an individual either. I think they're definitely
collectively, I think they're knobs.
Yeah, well, I mean, they're definitely seems to have been this, you know, this idea that, you know, if you believe Pop Bitch with Dominic Cummings saying, tell the dancers they're last in the queue. You know, it's like this idea that theatre is this isolated thing that doesn't also feed the restaurant industry or the tour bus industry or the pubs industry. It, you know, it's just bizarre to me.
Or tourism.
Yeah, exactly.
I went to New York to see Constellation with Jake Gyllenhaal and Ruth Wilson. You know, it drives tourism as well. People will travel to see these things if they, you know, if it's afforded to them, obviously. But then it's like clubs as well. Like, we have a huge culture of creating brilliant musicians, you know, and they, where do you cut your teeth? You know, where did Ed Sheeran cut his teeth? In pubs and clubs around the country, touring relentlessly until someone actually took notice. You know, how much did he contribute to their income just via his tour? Something crazy.
And it is bizarre as well when, you know, it's a country, obviously I'm not from here, but it's a country that, you know, builds so much of its national pride and heritage on things like William Shakespeare. You know, it's just, it's like the arts are the arts of the arts. It's like, it's
also
crucial.
Lest we forget, what got us through this period? If I didn't have Netflix or Spotify during this period, I mean, I can't, there's only so much daytime TV I can stomach.
But honestly, can I just say as well, we have finished Netflix. We don't know what to talk. We've got nothing to say to each other. Yeah.
I'm running very low as well. Thank God I live alone.
I saved The Crown. So that's what I'm on at the moment, The Crown. But I'm starting to get sick of received pronunciation now. Issue. There's only so many I can hear someone pronounce issue. Issue.
I don't know what you mean by Hey Siri, I couldn't say so many.
Siri has just started to try and have it. Siri wants in.
I was going to say,
it's so far into my Aussie ears. I love that accent. Yeah.
So anyway, so for anyone listening, obviously The Range, Adapt, it's available across the country in Asda right now, right?
It is, and online, yeah.
Online, very important, obviously, in this time of a lockdown, or past lockdown.
If my husband's nice to me, I might buy him a nice shirt for Christmas.
But also,
the shirt, and also the Parker's a key piece for me. So I love tech jackets. That's one of my favorite.
Stephen, what I liked about it is, and I think you've got a really good idea in the sense that, you know, I think you get to a certain point as a man where you kind of know the things you want and what you like, and you buy them 5 or 6 times, you know? So I think they're just classic pieces that I think will suit most guys out there. So I think it's a really, really good. And obviously the sustainability thing is just an icing on the cake. And the price point. Win-win.
Yeah, 60 quid.
Yeah.
8 to 60 quid.
What's not to love? That's
I'm not spending that on Ross. Yeah. Sorry, I'm out.
You can also get these. You can also, if you're going to overindulge at Christmas, may I suggest you give yourself a head start in January and get yourself some a gulp as well. Very good for the gut. Very good for the immune system.
Right. Wow.
All right. Okay. There you go. Well done, Steve. You got all your plugs in.
I haven't even told you about the new single yet.
Oh, Jesus. All right.
That's because I can't, because I can't get out my record deal because I don't get on with the head of Sony very well.
Oh.
Well, they listen to this podcast, Stephen, to get you take your boss right now.
Yeah, they're across the road from me right now. If you want me to deliver it,
throw a brick at the window.
Oh, okay, yeah. Oh, I do that every day anyway. Yeah.
So. No, Joe, go for the bigger. Just moon them. Moon them now, Joe.
Yeah. No one deserves that. Right, are we going to play Is It Just Me?
Yes, I think we're ready for it.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, cool. Right. Shall I kick off things? You know, we touched on it.
Not?
Okay, so we'll talk about Christmas. You know, it's obviously on everyone's mind. Is it just me? This sounds really awful. And I do love my family, I swear. But
then you Grinch.
Is it just me who is more excited about Christmas food than the Christmas company? Now, I say this, like I said, to precursor, I do love my family. And actually, we made a very reasonable decision a week ago that we're not getting together this Christmas. My parents are in that age bracket where it's a bit risky, and they've been really good. And actually, to be honest with you, it was actually quite embarrassing. My parents almost took the news too well. They were a bit like, yeah, that's fine, we don't want to see you this Christmas. It was like, ow. It was like,
I mean, we can all understand that.
Yeah. I mean, I am fairly awful at any time of year, but particularly at Christmas. But anyway, so we decided we're not going to get together. So I'm now sort of figuring out what I'm going to do Christmas Day with some friends or whatever. And I've basically pretty much realised I don't think it really matters who I'm with. I mean, that sounds awful. I like all my friends, but what's really important is the food. Like, I'm really, and it's not just the eating and the gluttonous part of it. For me, because some of my friends have suggested going to, like, really posh restaurants or going to nice hotels. But for me, Christmas is about making the food as well as eating it. Am I totally weird in this?
No, I'm kind of with you, although I do like, it's, I, right, a couple of things to this. So family-wise, my nan has been weirdly really, really nice throughout this whole period. I don't know if it's just because she doesn't miss seeing me. I thought she would. Like, she does talk to me on FaceTime.
She's realised a whole new life exists.
She doesn't really know FaceTime that well, though, so I normally just spend the whole time looking at her forehead. No matter how much I try and ask her to move the camera.
It could be worse.
We all have it. My mum has a lamp, and it looks like a sort of Gestapo interrogation lamp that she uses to do crosswords with. It's so bright. It's like zooming.
Well, that's how grim things are in Wales at the moment.
Well, I know, but it's like zooming Wembley Stadium. That's how lovely. And my mum never gets her face in. I just get the lamp. Anyway, back to what you were saying.
I agree with you. I think I've had a couple of Christmases where I've gone to restaurants or to places where I've been cooked for. And it's not quite the same. There's something about the entire process. There's something about, you know, doing the gravy the day before and doing all the prep. And yeah, that's what feels Christmassy to me.
Drinking at 10:30 a.m. That's what's exciting.
I love it. I love it when it's really carefully curated as well. So you perfectly work out how to best get yourself hungover for Boxing Day.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, well, if I start with a little glass of, I don't know, Bucks Fizz or a Kia Royale, and then, you know, a glass of white wine through lunch, and then onto the red when the meat comes out, and you just get your basic, and then onto the old fashions. It's just a recipe for the worst hangover in the world. But again, that's part of Christmas. The company's going to be quite good for me this year. I'm going to go and see my nan in the morning and just wave to her from her balcony. I do miss giving her a hug. But then I'm probably going to be with my partner and her family. And I quite look forward to that, albeit I've been told that I'm in charge of the roast, which I'm fine with.
Are quite a foodie though, right?
I love food, man. Well, Giz and I opened a blooming pop-up.
Exactly,
kidding me? That was mental.
You've been way too productive in 2020, where most of us are literally scrambling around, can barely do anything. You've got like restaurant pop-ups, you've got a supplement range, you've got a clothing range.
It's upsetting.
I'm not here to upset anyone. I'm trying to spread joy. Smile on my face. You lot have made me happy. This is a great start to my Thursday. It's funny. Like, I have done all of that, but then there's so much stuff that I need to get done at home. I'm like, I'm quite good at compartmentalizing unless I start to get bad sleep, and lockdown 2.0 has been quite bad for that. I've started waking up at like 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. So then I start to, I keep things in, I don't know. I always use the analogy. It's a bit like chaos at the zoo in my head at the moment, because there's so many things going on. If I keep the doors closed behind me, when I go from one room to another, it's fine. But if I don't, the animals get out and they open the other doors, and then it's just chaos.
Is it like Jumanji, Stephen, in your head?
The door's being kicked off. The first Jumanji, the proper one.
Yeah, the good Jumanji.
The terrifying one.
I am aware of, like, I can now, so I'm looking at a movement crack on my kitchen wall at the moment, and I'm like, yep, there is a hell of a lot of stuff that I need to get my head around and get done.
But I think this Christmas I'm going to try, I'm going to finally do what I always threaten and make a Quality Street toastie.
Oh, yes.
See what that's like.
I'm not across this. Tell me more.
It's Joe's own invention.
Just going to melt a load of Quality Streets in between, in a Breville, in sandwiches, and see what happens.
If I did that, I'd lose a tooth. You can't put toffees in there, surely.
Why not?
I can't even eat those little toffee. I can't even eat those little golden toffee coins, and I love them, but I would 100% lose a filling, if not a tooth.
Look, yeah. I'll take one for the team. Yeah,
stick the big purple ones or the green triangles, Joe, for the toasties, I reckon.
Sorry.
Carry on. No, you go.
That was a Brazil nuts, isn't it?
Oh yes.
I'm telling you, I'm getting excited already. I'm gonna do it. Yeah.
In all seriousness, though, I think we like food, Joe. But I mean, I think you. It's not. How would you feel about going out to a restaurant for Christmas lunch, for example? For me, that just doesn't feel right.
Well, you have to get dressed.
Yes.
Yeah.
Also, you have to stay sober, relatively, don't you? Because my feeling is...
No. You don't have to, you don't have to stay sober. I can confirm that, because I've definitely not stayed sober. But there's something in doing the washing up, and just, it's kind of like you meet up, you eat food, you have a drink, and then you all leave. You don't, it doesn't, you know, part of the, and I know sometimes, you know, we get to a point where we all wish everyone would leave, but like that doesn't normally happen during Christmas Day.
Snoring and farting on the couch is all part of it. Yeah.
But also my biggest driving force is as well, is like, what, no leftovers? If you go to a restaurant, you've got no fucking leftovers. And that's
Bobble and Creek is one of the best things about Christmas. Like, oh, the boxing game, my God. Do you know what? So in answer to answer that question more concisely, what is the food without the company? You wouldn't have any fun if you were cooking just for yourself. And I normally, this year I'm with my partner and her family, but I nearly always have a race and strays on like the 28th with all of my friends who don't have anywhere else.
Yeah.
If not on Christmas Day sometimes. And that to me is what it is all about. It's people coming together, and they don't have to be your blood to be your family. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Aww. It's true.
And the real struggle
is sarcastic. It's all true.
True. But the biggest struggle is getting a small enough turkey, because obviously all the small turkeys have gone, right?
Yeah, I'm starting to realize that butchers have closed their lists already. I'm just relying
it's all about the crown this year, people. Yeah. The crown, yeah.
Not the TV show.
No, the turkey. Although I'm having lamb because I'm the only meat eater in my house, so what I say goes.
Right. Yeah. So I don't always do a turkey. I'm like you, Joe. I favor lamb or beef, but the turkey for everyone else, and then do a little bit of red meat for me. I've got a nice roll.
I mean, there's nothing like a lamb sandwich the next day. Hello.
Oh, mint jelly.
Honestly. Well, yeah.
This is making me very festive. I'm not been feeling that festive.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I'm getting a little bit tingly all over. Thank you both for that.
Yeah. Let's move on. Before James gets any tinglier. Yeah. Yeah. Is it just me?
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
He sometimes does embarrassing things that even when I'm alone, they embarrass me, even when nobody else has seen them. And I must admit with you, I did think of this on a visit to the loo. Now, don't be too alarmed. I'm not going to give you too much information, but... I have this thing, and maybe it's more of a girl thing, but I've done it a few times now where when I stand up, I realize I've accidentally hooked my underpants under the toilet seat. So when I stand up, the toilet seat flips up and then crashes down with the biggest almighty bang, scares the living daylights out of me. And I realize it's because I've hooked my underpants under the seat. And that's just, it's so humiliating. And no one will ever see that. So... And yet it's
But it depends on where the toilet's situated, right? Because there is a risk of everyone hearing it and being like, whoa.
Yes. What the hell is she doing?
To upset her that she's just walked into the toilet and slammed the toilet seat down after.
And the other thing this is the one time in which my house is slightly posher than Kelly Hoppins, because I went to Kelly Hoppins once, went to the loo.
The one in West London.
Yeah. And because my toilet lids are soft return, I think right. if I've got soft return, Kelly's definitely got soft return. So I just out of force of habit threw the lid down and it went crash again. Like it was just, I was so embarrassed. And again, I was on my own.
Yeah. No, is that because her toilet's like solid marble or something?
Well, I was honestly, it made such a bang. I had to look and think, have I just fucking broken the toilet in this really amazing house? Also, but no, I hadn't. Yeah.
Also, Joe, I think Kelly Hoppen's going to take a hit out on you now for outing her for not having soft closing toilet seats.
Yeah, I know. She'll never speak to me again.
They've probably already been replaced.
After your toilet seat shame.
Joe Alvin went to the loo there, so they must all be replaced.
Surely there's a blue plaque there. Is there not a blue plaque at that toilet seat now?
I mean, I can't be... Yeah, and even like, you know, we've all done the thing where you trip over but nobody saw and it's still a bit humiliating.
What I was going to say to this is, and it kind of does relate to tripping over because I was born clumsy. Like, if there's an accident waiting to happen, yeah. It'd be me that has it. I'm forever causing myself mischief. I've got two broken spindles on my staircase at the moment from slipping down the stairs. One was like, I didn't realize that the lady who helps us in the house sometimes arrived a little bit ahead of time. So my alarm hadn't gone off. And I was like in my pajamas running up and down stairs trying to find the keys to the gate to let her in. And couldn't find the keys, realized I must still be upstairs. So I've come up and downstairs twice already, run upstairs a third time. And as I've come back down, my pajamas were under my heel and I just went smack straight through the spindle. It was one of those ones where my housemates didn't laugh. Like they didn't laugh, but they were like, that sounds quite interesting. What's happened there? There was a bit of fear. I was actually fine and I was laughing, but I don't know if I laugh as a nervous response or if I just genuinely find it funny. But like, you know, some people get quite, I always find it funny when people get really annoyed if they like trip up in front of people. Themselves, but like if they take a trip on the escalator or they stumble and they survive it, but they get like, oh, whoa.
But they look behind them like there must have been something there.
I can't help, like, yeah, like, oh yeah, someone else was responsible, like, not me. Yeah. I'm angry at the invisible man that tripped me over. I can't help but just laugh. I find those things really funny. So I don't get that. I'm not that bashful. I was when I was younger, but I think I've grown into my own skin now and I'm kind of willing to own the embarrassment. I'm a fan of awkward if I'm in control of it. The one thing I find difficult is bad stand-up comedians. That's what I want to invert. I would get in my own belly button and hide if I could. That's what I find awkward. But no, I don't get that embarrassed.
I'm not quite to the extent that you're. If I'm alone, I don't get embarrassed, but things that were witnessed, literally, yeah, I can traumatize myself.
I think it's really weird that I feel stupider about that incident that happened on my own than I do about telling you two about it.
I felt like and everyone else, Joe, and everyone else, don't forget.
All the millions of listeners.
Yeah. You know what? But it's that stuff that people relate to because we all do silly things. And also, I just think like some of the most even traumatic parts of my life have made for really good conversations. Like I wouldn't be able to contribute to conversation if it wasn't for all the good and the bad that's happened. And everyone that enjoys me as a person, they kind of have to take the good with the bad because it's all played into me becoming who I am. And I think that's the same for anyone that you meet. You know, it's really easy when you meet someone to like them and then love them, but then get judgmental about shit that's happened in their past. But actually the bad shit that's happened is as much as part of the good, you know, when it comes to making that person. So,
you know, you love a friend when there are days when they annoy the living crap out of you about this or that they do or say, but you still love them.
Yeah, you don't have to like someone. Yeah.
Why are you looking at me when you say that?
You never annoy me, James. You actually never do.
We're
just not that close.
I think embarrassment's like everything, right? I think it's like every emotion. You've got to own it. I think, like you said, the people that are weird about stuff, like the ones that try to look for somebody else to blame for when they trip over an escalator. I mean, I'm with you. It's a bit like all of your, whether it's jealousy or anger or frustration or sadness or whatever. I think it's much better to own it and admit to it. But I do sometimes worry that I'm getting like you, Stephen. If I trip, I feel automatically programmed. I've got to laugh it off, get in on the joke first. But I then sometimes worry I take it too far and I end up looking at like actual lunatic, just laughing at nothing.
Very cool.
You know, even saw the fall.
But I've had this thing since I was a kid, I think. So like if someone used to shout at me when I was a kid, especially at school, I was quite good at school, so I never got shouted at much, believe it or not, even though I ended up in a pupil referral unit, more on that later. But I used to, if a teacher would shout at me, I just used to find it really funny. It was like I had a picture of like a monkey on a tricycle with crashing cymbals going around my head, and I couldn't help but laugh. Like I found.
Whereas I used to think it was like a fate worse than death if a teacher told me off. I was traumatized for days if that happened. It was like, I don't know, it was just such a head girl instinct. It's very strange. Yeah. Even though I was never head girl.
I love how you just slipped head girl in there.
No, I did. I never was. No.
It didn't work for you, Joe, but being teacher's pet. You should have laughed.
Yeah, no, it really didn't. No. Anyway, I don't know what we've concluded other than I need to pull my underpants down a bit further when I go to the
air. Stop talking about Kelly Hoffman's toilets.
We should have raised that with her when she was on the podcast.
I know. She'll have to come back. Defend herself.
That's a point. That there is a point that needs addressing, even if it's just a quick catch up for part two.
Our first question, Kelly, have you changed that toilet seat?
I mean, it's a nice house, Kelly, but
it is amazing, but it's quite like it's one of those houses where you almost are frightened to touch something. Everything has a place, and I'm a believer in, like, I'm not quite Marie Kondo, but like I think we've got a terrible attitude, which is normally that just like if you run out of space, you need more space, not less things. Now I'm and this plays into sustainability, I think. Like I'm trying to streamline every aspect of my life, even my friendship circle, just because I think, you know, instead of looking for more space for more things, I think less things, and then each thing can have a place. But everything was so perfect in our house. Like
I guess
look at the mess of my, it's just
that's not a mess.
Okay. I will say this, I Marie Kondo'd one t-shirt drawer this week, and I'm not gonna lie, I feel like I can now take on the world.
It's amazing, isn't it? Tidy room, tidy mind. I noticed that if I'm in periods of stress, I start to notice every like scuff on every skirting board, and it starts to just glare me. It's like glare at me. It's like,
Well, I saw there was this, that. Do you see in the weekend that picture of Victoria Beckham sitting in her pantry, and that made me clean my pantry up. It was just like I was pantry shamed by Victoria Beckham. Yeah.
I'm not sure what this is going to. This is probably going to be.
Oh, is it your pantry?
Probably going to be.
We're getting an exclusive insight.
I used to have one of those cupboards. Does yours? It used to break all the time.
I don't have a room, but basically, yeah, it has a couple of times because I put too much in it. It gets too heavy, and then it comes out, and it just goes from that to that.
Yeah, it's a nightmare. Yeah.
Pickled onions all over the floor everywhere.
But it looks very organized to me.
I've done that quite recently, to be fair. Everything's in its place, but then like I do the fridge over and over, and I used to have three housemates and a girlfriend, so it was busy here. Now I just have my partner, but sometimes it's as though the housemates have snuck back in and just terrorized everything, because sure, I haven't made dinner.
No, it definitely wouldn't be you.
We're spending a lot more time at home, don't forget. All those meals, all those times you're using it, you know, getting a lot of wear and tear.
Talking of soft clothes and stuff, though, do you know how mad it is? Like, I grew up in, you know, there were six of us in a three-bedroom flat. And now I've got soft clothes in drawers. It's so fucking cool. People talk about achievements. I've got a wine fridge and soft clothes in drawers.
Yeah, I've got a wine fridge, but I don't have the soft drawers. But I do have the soft return toilet.
I know, I don't. So there you go.
I mean, I just don't know how you live like that, to be honest.
I'm glad you brought us back the toilet seats, because I feel that's going to be the theme of this podcast. Because on our last subject this week, is it just me that doesn't know half the things in my house and how they work, or how
Well, you I know it? How the bloody toilet works.
Well, no, because this is my point. So I'm not going to lie to you. About 6 months ago, my toilet seat, it's one of those things that's been niggling. It's never quite sat right, and every time
are you really pleased you got up for this today, Stephen? We're talking about toilets.
You know about the supplement I made, a gulp for guts. So there's been a lot of talking shit. Now I've spent my last month and a half talking shit, like quite literally.
You've come to the right place.
Made for some quite interesting conversations.
Well, here you go.
Go on, sorry.
Also, I was going to say, so the toilet seat issue is, it's one of those things like, it's ever since I've lived in this house for 4 years, it's the toilet seat's not been quite right. And every time my mum visits, she said, that toilet seat. And you know, your mum has a habit of zoning in on the one thing. I've done up my entire house, but I've never fixed the toilet seat. What's that?
It's a bit off center, or it moves when you sit on it. Yeah, I've kind of got the same issue.
No, that's intolerable, to be quite honest.
Well, no, but it finally got to a point 6 months ago.
The toilet seat moves.
Yeah, but it kind of got to it, but it finally broke, it half broke. And I was like, right, I'm going to have to get a new toilet seat.
Trying to find
the right size toilet seat for my weird shaped toilet was enough of a stress. Then when it arrived, trying to get the half of the toilet seat that hadn't snapped off the toilet, literally I was calling every builder in town because I could not figure out how to do it. And no one thankfully was available. And I persevered for the next 3 hours.
I just would have just moved.
No. Yeah. But I eventually got the toilet seat on and the new one on. And I'm not going to lie to you, again, it was one of those moments where I thought, I can take on the world right now. I've done this. I felt so proud. And as you know, Joe, I'm not one for toilet humour. So for me to be talking so proudly about anything relating to a toilet is quite a step forward. But am I alone here in the sense that when things go wrong in your house, you suddenly go, I've got no idea how to fix that?
I'm straight on the phone to someone, like I am a DIY disaster. My missus is always taking the mickey out of me. She's like, Jesus, I'll bloody do it. I'm like, God, we've got to get someone out to fix this.
No, but I admire that, because my husband, we go through the charade of him thinking he can fix things and then inevitably calling a man in the end anyway. So, yeah.
I'm just like, I would rather not make anything worse than it already is. Like, who fixed it, but maybe not yourself, is my ethos when it comes to that. I know how most of the gadgets work, but as far as like the actual workings of what makes the house operate, I leave most of it well alone, because if I touch something, it tends to just create another problem and then another problem and then another problem.
I'm sure I've said this before, but I keep asking Ross, my husband, to do a list of how things work before he dies, because if he gets hit by a bus tomorrow, I am screwed. I don't even know how to.
Don't worry about Will. Just let him know everything.
My daughter and him laugh at me. I don't even know how to get Netflix on the telly. I mean, I literally would be sitting in a dark room, freezing to death.
Oh my God, I am genuinely worried for you now, Joe. That is a real thing.
And he says he won't.
No, because you've completed Netflix, so Netflix is no use. You can worry about how to get Amazon Prime.
Yeah, but they might make something else. You never know. But
reminding me, I've not cancelled. I signed up to Disney Plus for one thing for a 3 month trial, and I'm definitely now about 3 months in. I've been paying.
Is that The Mandalorian? Is that what you signed up for?
I can't remember. It wasn't for me. Yeah. It was something that my partner wanted to watch.
Hamilton. Was it for Hamilton, when they showed Hamilton?
Yes, it was. It was. Yeah. That was exactly what it was, And I hate musicals, but I thought that was brilliant. It wasn't just because...
It's amazing, isn't it? Yeah.
Well, yeah.
But again, though, the other day, this is what I find weird about being a grown-up and owning a house. You think, okay, I've lived in my house now for 4 years, and I kind of feel by this point, I've done a full cycle of things going wrong and knowing how to handle and deal with those situations. Oh no, just the other day, I went into the bathroom, I turned on the light, one of the bright spotlights glows. And I'm literally looking up going,
I know how to do that.
Well, I now do, but I literally for about half an hour, I was going, what bit do I pull out?
You need a thinger. It's called a thinger, and you push it up.
I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah.
Not to shatter any dreams, but I renovated this. It was a... Basically, what I've learned is don't renovate an old house by trying to build a new one inside it. Just build a new house. Move out further, get land and build a house, because it's cheaper and you won't have all the problems that I now have. So I renovated this in 2013, moved in with builders still here, one of who had to... Well, he said he had Tourette's, so I think he just had a potty mouth. And I genuinely mean that. I'm not taking the mickey out of that condition whatsoever. Yeah. He just genuinely was foul-mouthed. So moved in with builders still in 2014. And I now need to basically redo everywhere, because it's moved. Everywhere's moved, and there's cracks and leaks and damp and just...
But if you live near me, it's the same thing. It's like the Edwardian houses. I've got a house of cracks as well.
It's so...
Yeah.
I'm like looking at it going, I can't bear to have builders in the house again so soon. It feels like... I don't feel like it's ever been finished. And it, you know, it was at a point, and now it's... The headache, but it's just how funny. I'm like, what's my next album going to be about? Pharaoh and ball paint. Like, what the hell am I meant to rap about? My life is quite comfortable.
You could call it Sulking Room Pink by Professor Green. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Call it Kakietka as an ode to the tiles that I'm about to put in one of the bathrooms I've got to do.
What colour? What's your colour scheme?
Looking at something relatively pink, actually.
Nice.
You know you're a proper grown-up and you get more excited about that kind of stuff than, you know, going out.
I can't believe it. Like, when I think about what my life was, I used to run around selling like draw for a tenner, and now I'm like going to farmers markets on Saturday mornings. It's amazing, and I'm equally as excited by it. I get like the same sort of juvenile rush by going to pick my own veg and taking my own bags when I remember. That's like, I do that now. You know, sustainability. I take my own bags when I go shopping. It makes me so happy, but my younger self would just be going, you boring twat.
Well, I had a
classic. It happens to us all. Yeah.
I had a classic of the day where I was trying to break, because, you know, we'd just come out of a lockdown, but obviously in lockdown, you're trying to find your kicks where you can find them. So I was taking a different route on the dog walk that day, and I was like, ambling around the streets of Streatham, Fritton Hill, looking at all these houses. And I came across this street and I was blatantly ogling the houses because they were like so gorgeous, so beautiful. And as I blatantly stood outside this house, and I'm not lying, gawping, almost dribbling at how beautiful this house was, there's a rap on the window. And I think, oh my God, it's somebody telling me to piss off and stop, you know, dawdling. I realise it's my friend who I didn't even live there. And then I'm like, oh my God, this is so embarrassing. You blatantly caught me perving over your house. And he was like, James, that's so tragic. I was going, yeah, I think I actually perv over houses more than I perv over people these days.
But, you know, I do a lot of house window shopping. Is that the right turn of phrase?
That's the best thing about winter, is that you can actually see in. Yeah. Yeah.
Obviously, there's always a bright light, Joe. There's always
I'm a weirdo or anything.
No, I don't think it is weird. I always walk around. I enjoy houses. I always wonder what people have done to them when they've been renovated as well. When they go, if I see a house up for sale, I'm always straight on Rightmove to see what it looks like inside.
I love it when you're walking past someone's window and you hit the jackpot of like, you know, like there's this place in my mother-in-law's house where every time we drive past it, there's a portrait of the people who live there that I swear to God is the size of an IMAX screen. And I see it all, and it's just imagine looking at a picture that big of yourself every day.
I used to, a photographer, I forget his name now. He sent me a framed portrait that he had shot of me in black and white, and it was really pensive. I was like looking like that, but I was looking to my left, which meant that I hung it in the toilet, which meant that I was looking at whoever was sat on the toilet, which used to annoy people to know, like, honestly, to no end, and bring me so much enjoyment. Because every time someone come out, they'd kind of look at me like, ugh. It was quite
bad. Thank God
it wasn't me, because you know what happens to me.
You just slammed the toilet seat. It's not soft closing. It's not even broken.
And what I love is how we beautifully bookended this episode, taking us back to the toilet. Thanks very much for that. Very nicely done, everyone.
Oh my God, I was in such a foul mood when I got here. You lot have cheered me up so much.
I can't wait for what the rest of the day holds, to be honest. I've got someone coming round to collect a mattress which was dumped outside my house, and I've also, someone stole my recycling bin. They're hot property, apparently. This is the third time it's happened to me, so I've just got loads and loads of now soggy recycling that I've got to help this bloke lift into his van.
Maybe there's a whole market of Professor Green's recycling bins on eBay.
Probably on it, but I wouldn't mind. But the last one didn't even have a lid on it. The lid had already been stolen. I'm like, well, why do people do this to me? What have I done to deserve getting my recycling bin stolen? I was in Streatham Hill yesterday. It's one of the largest food banks in London. It's they've been given a grant to use a church around there, St. Margaret's. Yeah, St. Margaret's. A food bank doing some good yesterday. But yeah, some beautiful houses, I did notice.
Really are, yeah. I know.
Anyway.
I don't know it. Thank you so much for joining us. It's been really fun.
Thank you. And I look forward to when we're allowed to, you know, when we get beyond socially distancing, hopefully sitting next to you at a dinner sometime.
That would be lovely, yeah.
Like just without Lawrence Fox, ideally.
Oh, God, yes.
What a shame, he's my best friend.
That was really weird, wasn't it? He was sat at the same table as that, and he hadn't gone to the dark side at that point. He was actually all right.
He was quite dark. He was telling me that he was writing a song with Elton John and he was trying to direct the rest of my career, and I just wanted to tell him to fuck off, to be honest.
When was was this?
This was
a GQ dinner, London Fashion Week dinner last year.
Yeah. Oh my God.
There you go. The signs were clearly there. The signs were there.
Yeah, I'm writing with Elton John next week, and I think I should basically, he was saying he should produce my next record and telling me what I should be doing musically, and it took every ounce of and I'm not one to bite my lip, as I'm sure you've kind of worked out, but I just thought it would upset everyone else at the table, but I there were moments where I just had to go outside for a cigarette, albeit I didn't smoke.
Oh my God.
Yeah, he's another knob. Him and Rishi Sunak belong in the same box, preferably underground. And I won't say any more on that.
But to everyone else, a very happy Christmas.
Yeah.
To everyone else, sorry. I didn't want to end it on a low note.
I don't know about you two, but I really need the toilet anyway.
Yeah.
I'm off to the bathroom, and I'm not going to slam the toilet seat, even though it's not soft posing. But I'm going to consider investing in some soft posing toilet seats. I'm jealous.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.